started in here.
Gonna grab some coffee, gonna have a bite while I listen to Justice and Drew. Alright. Gotta get caught up on what went on last night. That's why I'm sitting here waiting on Sam's Top 5. Well, it's the only show I listen to start my day. And every other show is way too boring anyway.
Tim John Waltz is throwing in the state on Mike. And Joe Biden doesn't know which way is left or right. Making sense of all this stuff is what I need, so tune in to Don and Drew and Sam, that's right.
Carjackings each night. The city council is a fright. But Justice and Drew's alright. Yeah, Justice and Drew's alright.
Yeah.
Then I look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gone.
No.
Can you dig it?
No.
Well, too bad, because we're here.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday,
what?
June 4th, 2021.
Years just flying by, man.
Right?
It's just
right?
Light speed.
Man, this is month six. We're nearing the halfway point.
How is that? That's not
2021.
That's just not possible.
And I feel like I've accomplished nothing. I've met zero of my New Year's resolutions.
Well, do you have a New Year's resolution?
No.
Oh.
That's why I've met zero of them.
Well, like, I just said. Is it because there's nothing to look forward to? Is that why? Because normally, like, time slows down.
Right, yeah.
Time slows. It's relative. And time slows when you're looking forward to something.
There's a Star Wars movie on the horizon.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Or a vacation coming up that you're very much looking forward to. Feels like it takes forever.
The best example I could ever give was opening day of The Force Awakens. And 45 minutes sitting in the movie theater. It felt like a week. It did. And I still remember that. So I just feel like there's nothing to look forward to. So time's just.
That could be one explanation
of why away.
It feels like it's just, you know, everything is happening at warp speed.
Well, we'll try to slow things down on the show this morning.
We'll pump the brakes.
We'll give you something to look forward to each and every single segment of today's show. That's the plan.
That's the idea.
We have
eight more segments coming up.
And to fulfill all of your wildest hopes and dreams.
And each one of them is going to be just a moment in your life that you can cherish and remember forever. And maybe turn into like an NFT so we can make a lot of money.
So if we have a lot of... Yeah, Drew's all about the NFTs.
It really is.
I just want to come up with one.
Well, first off, for those that aren't familiar with the NFT, can you do the...
No, because I don't really know much about them.
They are non-fungible tokens.
Yes, I know that much.
A unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain that certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore not interchangeable.
Okay, let's stop here. It's a photograph or a meme that became popular, and its original source owns the rights to it and then is able to go and sell it to somebody who has a lot of money and reap the benefits of that because there's value. You in that particular GIF or photo that became viral online.
That last part is the big question. Is there actual value? And I know the sort of stock answer a lot of people will give, well, is the value is what somebody will pay for it. That's the value. But usually that would be, you know, there would be some practicality toward what you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with these digital non-fungible tokens, I fail to see even the value other than the, hey, look, it's cool. Look what I have. Or look what I got. Look what I did with all this money that, you know, I had way too much of, apparently, if you're going to spend $750,000 to get a bunch of pixels.
So I think what it comes down to is, so let's use something as an example, like Grumpy Cat, right? Mm-hmm. You can use Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat sold for a lot of money.
Right. Okay. So, the value in that, even though to the three of us we go, well, Grumpy Cat has clearly run its course, I think it's directly tied into the same thing that we see within politics. It's like with name recognition. Grumpy Cat comes with it a sense of familiarity with an abundance of individuals. So the purchasing of that would give the buyer the opportunity to utilize that, even though it may seem outdated, to bring a lot of awareness and attention to whatever it is they're trying to promote by instantly putting up something that's recognizable to the public. Same reason why songs get used that over makes, and over
that,
again.
I think, that makes sense.
I get what you're saying, but the difference that I'm thinking of is, first of all, I don't believe that buying the NFT gives you sort of exclusivity on using it. Say you wanted to use Grumpy Cat in a branding campaign. Say, like, Justice and Drew bought the brand, bought the Grumpy Cat NFT, and we started using it to market our show. But that's not, to the best of my knowledge, that is not what buying the NFT gives you access to. You don't have any sort of exclusivity, or even, to the best of my knowledge, a right to use it in a marketing campaign when you purchase the NFT. So normally when you buy something, you know, it's something that you can then exchange for value later on. Like, you have, there's some practicalities, there's some function to it, or it's something that you could resell for a greater value down the line. I don't see that with these NFTs, and I don't know what they're able to do with them that gives them any sort of return on that investment.
But we'll have to look it up, because that wouldn't make any, because I see what you're saying, but if that's the case, then I understand your question. But if you can pitch it off to somebody else later on who can go and do that, then the original purchaser should be able to do that. Aren't you buying the rights to that particular
thing? But I can still go download an image of Grumpy Cat off the internet that isn't the, you know, the digitally watermarked NFT.
Sure, but you couldn't go, but again, you wouldn't be, I think the NFT allows you to be able to go and capitalize on that. Like the girl with the burning house. That's the one that pops into my mind. Sure.
That one recently got sold for $500,000.
So my assumption is that that can now be used by whoever purchased it for whatever, unless it's all about lawsuits.
So what I found, because I found this article, the Friends set art is going to be auctioned off as NFTs, and there's actually a good explanation in here of what value they have.
Okay, hold that thought.
Yeah, hold it.
That's your tease.
I'll hold on to it.
That's your tease.
I got it.
Before we get into Sam's top five, which we have a preview. I'm very excited because I see the words, I see the letters UFO in it.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about Sam's top five coming up this morning. We also have a roundtable joining us this morning.
Yes, the Wrong About Everything crew, Brian McDaniel and Amy Koch, will be joining us starting at 7 o'clock this morning. Really looking forward to having them back in studio. We're going to play the Friday news quiz at 8:40 this morning. You have an opportunity to win a $100 gift certificate from our friends over at the vaping studio, Twin Cities Cannabis, if you can correctly predict who you think might win the Friday news quiz. Brian McDaniel, Sam Sansevier, and Amy Koch will be participating. Get your picks in now. You can email jd@twincitiesnewstalk.com or use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We'll be right back with Sam's top five. So much new bumper music lately.
Yeah, man.
Fun stuff.
Good stuff.
I like it.
Justice and Drew. Sam, too.
Thank you. It was carefully curated.
By whom?
By me.
Here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. It was quite the show yesterday. If you missed any of it, be sure to go back and listen to the entirety of yesterday's Justice and Drew show.
Today's won't hold a candle to it.
No, not at all. Not at all. I should just pretty much just turn everything off and just go home right now. Yeah, just play that song on loop. People can enjoy My Chemical Romance for the next two and a half hours. No, yesterday's show, it was really interesting. Not only did we have the mayor of Ham Lake, he called up yesterday.
Mike Van Not Pelt. Mike Van Kirk.
There you go. Thank you. Because I knew it wasn't Pelt, but I couldn't think of the last part of it, so I appreciate that. He called up yesterday after PETA wanted them to change the name of Ham Lake to Yam Lake and announced a big event they have coming up, a pig roast on July 3rd. So more pigs will die now.
Everybody's going to eat some tasty pig.
And, of course, throughout the show yesterday, we talked about, and we'll get into more of it now that we have more details and information into the reopening, kind of 38th in Chicago.
No, it didn't reopen.
It didn't.
The failed attempt at reopening.
Is it shut back down completely now? It is shut back down completely now.
The protesters brought barricades back out. You know, they put up chicken wire around some portions. I mean, a lot of the structures are gone. They were removed, some of the guard shacks and things like that. But the barricades went back up pretty quickly. New barricades went up, I should say, and a chicken wire went up and around. So Marsha Howard and her crew apparently are not on the same page as Agape and the city. And they attempted to reopen it. They moved all the things. They got the narrative out there, and the press certainly did their job by parodying this idea that this is a community-led reopening. This is not the city, and the police aren't doing anything. It's like, no, that was all lies. That was all lies that we found out over the course of the day yesterday, and at least last time I checked, it is not open to traffic.
Well, when the roundtable joins us of Brian McDaniel and Amy Koch at 7 o'clock, we will dive into the shallow end of that pool coming up. And it wasn't, we'll explain more of this coming up, but there is a way this could have been, and now that we have more information and we know what the consequences have been of the attempt to reopen 38th in Chicago. I've changed my opinion, and I kind of left it open yesterday over how this thing should have played out. So we'll get into that again coming up at 7 o'clock. Before we dive into Sam's top five, though, we were talking about NFTs, and if you buy one of these, for example, sort of viral the images offline, and what does that mean? You know, Grumpy Cat, or
get you,
or what was the girlfriend one?
Didn't the crazy ex-girlfriend.
Crazy ex-girlfriend, and the girl in front of the burning house,
A lot of your popular memes, and even like short videos, like Charlie bit my finger.
That's right.
Have gone on to be sold as NFTs.
So if you buy an NFT, what sort of value are you getting, Sam? And what can you do with it, Sam?
So I found this explanation in this article that is about the Friends set art being auctioned off as NFTs. So there's this paragraph here that kind of explains that the appeal of NFTs is that the owner holds what might be considered a definitive digital official version of an item that can then increase in value and be traded with others like electronic baseball cards. So basically, when you buy it, you get the rights to a unique token, but only on the blockchain. This is when it starts to kind of lose me. If someone buys an image or meme, they can own it on the blockchain, but they have no control over its rights to its distribution. So basically, you get to connect your name with whatever original file it is, and it's like,
but you still don't have rights.
Yeah, you don't have the distribution rights.
You can't. Okay. You can't go and then start marketing it and say, "Hey, if you'd like to use Grumpy Cat in your marketing campaign, you now have to pay me, the holder of the NFT." That is not the case.
So NFTs cannot be duplicated, can be easily authenticated, and are immutable. But there's no surefire way to know whether they will maintain their value over time.
Okay, so
like Bitcoin.
I take away my complete commentary before, because you're right. If you can't do anything with it, basically, it's art.
It's like collecting trading cards.
The example of calling it like digital baseball cards, I think that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Like, I get that.
They're collector's items.
Yes.
But that's all. But that's all they are. They are just collector's items.
So we've just digitally arbitrarily decided, like we do with most of these things, that there is a value on here.
The value is what somebody
And now, so you basically are taking, it's a shot in the dark, it's a risk, it's a gamble to go and purchase the right to the girl giving the side eye in front of the burning house
for $500,000,
in hoping that one day somebody will want to pay $500,010 for it.
But what I have a problem with is, you know, because baseball cards, like when they first started making baseball cards, it wasn't with the idea that, you know, this Honus Wagner is going to sell for $3 million one day. It was, you know, people like baseball, people want to learn more about the players. Let's make cards with the players on them, and we'll put some information on the back, and kids can go and collect them and trade them and do all that stuff. It was just something for kids to collect and trade. To the best of my knowledge anyway, there was no intent of having these become the market that they have become. It happened somewhat organically. That's not the case with NFTs. This has not happened somewhat organically. Somebody saw an opportunity and they created the value by talking them up.
Right. Well, I think what it comes down to is sort of the other aspect of collecting. It's just scarcity. There is only one original version of this, and there is a value set upon the fact that you can be the dude that says, "I have this one original version of this." And I mean, I can give countless toy examples of that from the 70s.
But scarcity with actual physical, tangible things is real. Like, they only made 7 of this particular Star Wars toy.
Whatever, right?
So there are 7 of them out there.
Vinyl Cape Jawa.
But with these...
This is what, yeah, it doesn't really...
digital pictures. I can Google image search any of them right now and download them and do whatever the hell I want.
But it's not the original.
So?
And it's the same. Well, it's the same. But, okay, but it's the same thing to that. The vinyl caped Jawa is the most coveted Star Wars action figure from the 70s, because very few of them were made. Right. The vinyl caped Jawa. Okay.
Do you have one?
No. No.
Do you want one?
No. If I had one, I wouldn't be working here. So,
wow.
Do you know off the top of your head how much?
Oh, it's several hundred thousands of dollars. I have to look. But anyway, they have replicated.
Job over?
They have replicated the vinyl caped Jawa. You can purchase one, but it's a duplicate.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the NFTs. Right. So you're just looking at a replication of the original photograph. So
something that's interesting is there's another article here that's talking about how the Olympics is also getting into the NFT
Everybody
market.
Is.
Everyone
yeah.
is.
Everybody is. All like the WWE has talked about creating NFT trading cards.
And these at least look like trading cards. So I guess, I mean, at least that kind of makes sense. It's like a digital trading card. The whole like selling friends set art as an NFT just sounds a little bit odd to me.
But I know.
Who knows? Just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems very arbitrary and random.
It does feel very arbitrary to me. But I guess that's, you know, new things generally do. So
I
don't know that, you know, 6, 7, 8 years from now, these are going to have that collectible value that baseball, football, basketball, you know, trading cards and things like that do. Maybe they will. But, I feel like the market is about to be incredibly flooded with all of friends, WWE, NASCAR, Olympics, all of these organizations going, hey, we can make some money off these NFTs, and it's suddenly going to just become a glut of of NFT type trading cards, and then everything's going to get saturated and none of them will have a ton of value.
All right, I take it back. I couldn't retire off of vinyl caped Jawa. I could go on a really nice vacation, but
how much?
I think you got like $150,000.
Okay. Still.
I mean, that would be quite the vacation.
Yeah.
Well, you know. I mean, you could say buy a house. Like,
house. Well, that's true. I did confirm all my collection
maybe
of toys.
Not, I mean, maybe not right in this market.
Yeah. Not a nice house.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe in a couple years after everything crashes.
You could buy a trailer.
Scaled down. Let's get a Tesla.
There you go. Right. There you go.
Okay, there
you
go. There we go. Yeah.
All right. Sam's top five coming up next. All right, we have squandered time, and we need to catch up this morning here on Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk.
We've been dillying, and we have been dallying.
Yeah, we've done both of those things.
And we have not talked about the big news of the day, so we'll jump right into Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number one.
The FBI has identified Russian hackers being behind the JBS hack, causing a potential meat shortage from Consumer Affairs. The FBI says that it does know who is behind this recent cyber attack that sidelined JBS, the world's largest meat producer. The agency linked the deed to a notorious Russian ransomware gang and says that it is working to stop the cyber bandits from doing any further harm. This particular Russian ransomware gang sits atop all other ransomware groups with a 12.5% share of the ransomware market.
There's a market. Can you get in on that through Robinhood?
Yeah, can I invest in that?
Can you invest in the ransomware market and buy some stock in this Russian cyber hacking group?
NFTs.
If they have a stock, I might buy it.
Some Russian Dogecoin.
Yeah, and this is going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, you know, I feel like we are on the verge.
I mean, this is probably what could take down society.
I mean, he's just saying it in a flippant manner.
Not at all.
Well, sounded flippant.
That's my serious voice.
Oh, can't tell the difference.
I know.
But, you know, we talk about supply chain issues all the time, and these are the type of things. We saw what happened with just one pipeline being shut down on the East Coast. We're looking at a potential meat shortage coming up if this doesn't get resolved very quickly. And it shows you the vulnerabilities in our supply chains are very real. They are incredibly vulnerable, and there isn't a whole lot that our government appears to be doing, at least on the surface, to prevent these from happening. It's one thing to go after them after the case, but this is an area where you really do need stringent protections in order to keep our supply chains viable.
Well, and it's an area where you need a coherent and capable government in this case to go and allocate the proper resources. You know, in the middle of when Biden is still arguing with the GOP over trillions of dollars in infrastructure that we don't need. Mm-hmm. We don't need it. This idea of roads and bridges and airports and all that, a lot of that stuff, most of that stuff is done at the state level. It's all packaged that way to sell to the American public to make them accept it, right? But the reality is you can take a fraction. Mm-hmm. Of those trillions that they want to spend on roads and bridges, and you could funnel it towards stuff like this and things that we learned, the vulnerabilities that we learned, not just through ransomware attacks, but to what you were saying, the supply chains that got disrupted because of COVID. You could do so much better with that money for the American public than what they want to just toss it away on.
This Russian ransomware group has been a very busy bunch so far this year. It claimed that it stole unencrypted data from electronics company Acer, pilfered information from the celebrity law firm that represents Lady Gaga and Madonna, and made off with plans for upcoming Apple products. So you even have companies like Apple, who I would think would have really good cybersecurity.
Man, you would assume.
Getting hacked.
You would assume. Yeah, look, maybe the FBI needs to spend a little less time doing fake briefings for politicians that they can then leak out to the media.
Yeah.
And more time devoted to preventing cyber attacks. That'd be nice.
Number two.
The hotly anticipated Pentagon report on UFOs may be nothing but space junk. Warning. That's coming from a warning from a former Department of Defense employee. This whistleblower, who claims to have headed a secret UFO unit inside the Pentagon for the Department of Defense, tells the Post that he anticipates a lack of full disclosure in the government's upcoming report.
And he would know. This is the guy that, this Luis Elizondo, I mean, this guy is the reason, in a large part, this guy is the reason why we have learned so much over the course of the last year about all of these unexplained phenomenon that our military is experiencing.
Well, and this guy too, it's really interesting because he's been, you know, he's been privy to a lot of this information, and he's been really, his interviews have been fascinating from the standpoint of he never goes out of his, he's very careful to say, look, I know other things, but I know that's not my place to go and say that. And even going so far as to say, I know more information than I can tell you because I don't want to be the one to deliver that. Because this to me is so serious, I'd rather having it come from official sources.
Yeah.
And apparently he's also had a whole bunch of his past data and emails deleted. I don't think I think this is coming from a place where the federal government doesn't like the fact that he's been out there talking as much as he has.
Yeah, that story about his, the Pentagon or the Department of Defense deleting all of his emails is crazy. Crazy. That should never have happened.
So this is, when is this supposed to come out now, Sam?
So this report is scheduled to drop on June 25th. This groundbreaking document is designed to detail what the U.S. government knows about UFOs. But Elizondo, who led the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, does not anticipate unvarnished truth. And if the report turns out to be as watered down as he thinks it's going to be, he's planning on taking matters into his own hands with a run for Congress.
Good. Well, and the reason is that this report is specifically supposed to answer the question about the threat level that those that have knowledge of these UAPs believe that America is facing. So with that, you're not going to get the expectation is you're not going to get a full disclosure. But it's, look, when you get into the details of this, and we won't wipe out on it now, but the truth is there are objects out there that have been observed and have been photographed that they do not and cannot explain. I mean, and that in and of itself is just, it's fascinating. It's fascinating and warrants a heck of a lot more attention. And hopefully we get that attention coming up on June 25th.
Number three.
Protesters lit a dumpster on fire last night in Minneapolis's uptown area. This was following a deadly law enforcement shooting at a parking garage.
So they lit a dumpster fire in what is technically a dumpster fire.
Yeah, there's a dumpster fire within a dumpster fire, which just sounds like one big fire to me.
I'm having an issue with this, and not with you, Sam. Obviously, this is there was a lot more than a dumpster lit on fire last night. I mean, there were businesses broken into. Yep. There were stores being looted and trashed. There were officers being assaulted. I mean, there were essentially little mini riots happening in the uptown area last night. But you wouldn't really know that based on the surface level coverage that you're seeing in the media. You kind of have to go into a lot of those, you know, police scanner Twitter accounts to really see what went on last night. And it's making me wonder, is there now a concerted effort to suppress the criminal activity that goes on almost every single night in downtown and around downtown in Minneapolis, and make it seem like it's not as bad as it was? Because last night was pretty significant. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the week after George Floyd or anything like that. It wasn't that bad, but it was worse than just than a lot of the media coverage would lead you to believe. It was worse than just a dumpster was lit on fire.
No, I firmly believe the media downplays this stuff. And I think it goes to what we've talked about so often, the shrinking of newsrooms, the lack of having a wider range of voices within these show production meetings to go and discuss how they're going to cover a particular issue. And I think the voices that are left amid the downsizing because of the COVID pandemic, I think a lot of them don't believe that it's in their best interest to play up what's actually happening on the streets of Minneapolis. I disagree. I think the truth and authenticity will always win out, but I fully believe that a lot of this information is being suppressed.
This deadly law enforcement shooting occurred when a person was in a parked car, did not follow commands from police officers, and took out a handgun. In response, members of the task force did fire shots, and the person did die at the scene. But ultimately, this person didn't follow commands. They had a handgun that was visible to officers, and it was a situation that was escalating really quickly.
Doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore to these activists. They do not care. Their idea of justice is so twisted, perverted, and distorted, right? And it's devastating the community, their idea of justice, right? This was for all, and look, if it turns out to be different, it turns out to be different. But right now, this all appears to be like a fair shoot, for lack of a better word, right? And a fair and an appropriate use of force by law enforcement. If it turns out that it's not, then people should be held accountable. But right now, it appears that this was a proper use of force by law enforcement. But before the information was even revealed of the details, people were already out there protesting. Their idea of justice is just twisted right now. I don't even know what they consider justice anymore. It's that they're going to keep crying justice as long as it keeps the power in their hands.
I'm scrolling through the Crime Watch Minneapolis Twitter feed from last night, and it's long. There was a lot going on, but about 7 hours ago, right? So that would have been a little before midnight, I guess. A business owner at 29th and Hennepin reported to 911 that they were told looting is going to begin, possibly starting at Target.
What?
That's our city right now.
Hey guys, we're gonna
start looting around 11:30. You might want to give your businesses a heads up. Windows are gonna start getting broken. And CVS's and Targets and T-Mobile stores all got broken into, all got looted, all of the windows shattered, all because this guy had a gun and this guy should have been in jail. This is another example of somebody who had been arrested, who had been prosecuted, and his sentence was stayed. He was sentenced to 48 months in prison 2 years ago, October of 2018, but his sentence was stayed by Judge Jay Quam.
Is this the same Target where they put up the murals showing the burning buildings on the outside? Is it that Target?
Yeah, looters at CVS.
That worked well.
Looters at Cub Foods and the pharmacy. Looters at T-Mobile. Dumpster set on fire. Officers being assaulted. I mean, it was a violent, riotous night in Minneapolis last night. But you go look at any of the major media outlets right now, and you would not know that unless you really start digging into some of these stories.
We have two more items to get to in Sam's Top 5. We'll do that coming up. We have the round table of Amy Koch and Brian McDaniel joining us in studio. We'll continue this discussion of what's been happening in the wake of the attempt to reopen 38th in Chicago yesterday. And the next item on Sam's Top 5, I'm actually really excited to talk about, because it's something that we've discussed when it comes to energy policy and the real way forward that doesn't get talked about enough. And I saw the headline and I was like, oh, well, this is awesome.